Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you over there?
Hey, I'm doing good over here. Over here.
Good.
Over here on the left
over
coast.
Over here. Over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm in the islands right now, and I'll tell you, it must say it's really nice to not have that sweltering heat everyone's complaining about all over the country.
Oh, yeah. 115 here it was. It's cooled off to mid-90s now, but yeah, that 115 thing. Makes me glad we put all the money into the pool so it's clean and functioning.
Are you swimming in it?
Oh, yeah.
The way you said it, I had to ask.
Well, you know, it's to me, I just think about all the money and effort that you put into keeping a pool up, and for basically 3 months out of the year, the rest of the year it has leaves in it and you don't care about it. You know, it's but anyway, that's
I know.
Some of the homeowner woes, if you will.
I had a pool for 2 years, and I felt that too, but it depends. It depends, but that was on the island, so it was easier. You could use it more before.
Oh, yeah,
but it was
know.
A lot of work and maintenance and upkeep, and yeah.
And we have our lab puppy, Jessie, is loving it now. She, when we come home in the evening, she jumps in the pool with us and swims around, so she's experienced, she's discovered the swimming and likes it a lot. So.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. I love it. I texted my son, though, this morning, and I said, please don't jog outside, only at the gym, because it's so hot. I had talked to somebody in Maryland this morning, and they were driving to work, and they said on the sidewalk, a guy was laying down on the sidewalk, and there were police around him, and he was, I guess the ambulances weren't there yet. So, and she said she didn't see any blood, so you don't know if they just passed out from the heat or, you know. I mean, it's just one of those things. We just take things for granted, right? We have to be real careful.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We have to be careful. And then, I'm glad to not have that sweltering heat right now. And they're having a lot of homeless population problems in Hawaii right now. And they're even talking about setting up areas for people to be able to take showers and that kind of stuff. Kind of different, huh? So.
Whoa. Well, you know what? Yeah, I know, all the islands, I guess. But I remember being in that, what is the park right there, Honolulu? There's the big park, Kapi'olani Park, I think it is.
There's Kapi'olani, Alawai, uh-huh. Yeah.
Alamawai, yeah. The one along the waterfront there and all that, where there are, I mean, honestly, and tourists have no idea, but, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of homeless folks, you know, who live everywhere, and they just kind of during the day disappear, but... Yeah, it's all over the place.
It seems to be getting worse now. It was better for a while, and now it seems to be getting worse. And it's just it was in the paper yesterday that they're going to set up some. They're looking at setting up areas where they can actually take showers, use the bathroom, wash their clothes. I don't know. That was some things that are coming up.
Good idea.
So, yeah, it's really it is to try to help and you know.
Yeah.
Well, our show today is the first half is. About, the interest rates are inching up. Should you still buy or not? And we'll get into that in more detail in a couple minutes.
Oh, okay. So inching up. So slowly but surely the interest rates are going up. And I know that's been the kind of the clarion call the last really year or two when it's supposedly been quote-unquote down is, hey, when the interest rate, it means the interest rates are down, buy, right, if you can. Because it's only going up. So, Yeah, like you say, it may be kind of the last call for that for some folks for a while. Because if you can't buy when it's down, you're certainly not going to be able to afford it as the rates go up, right?
Yeah, but you know, I've been in since 1985, and, you know, well, right before I got in, the rates were up to as high as 18%, and then we're going down to 16, 14, you know, and people were still buying. Of course, they couldn't qualify for as much. And I got in 85, and like 10% was pretty average, 9.5%. Through, I'd say, the early 90s, 9.5 was a pretty standard rate, and then it started going down to 8.5. And so people were thrilled at those rates, Randy, and it just shows you a sign of the times. It shows you how we get used to things. Then, you know, we saw the rates go down in the sixes after 2000, and then when they were going, you know, went up a little bit, people would complain. So when it went down to 2.5, 3%, 3.5, and that's like free money. And so now it's inching back up into the fours, and people are complaining, you know. So I think, you know, we'll go through it in a couple steps so people can see the differences. I think it does make sense to buy. The rates are still fantastic. Yes, you will qualify. The lesser they are, the more you qualify for. Even though you qualify for a lot more, maybe you don't need to have a $1 million mortgage or an $800,000 mortgage. You know, sometimes somebody who may have, you know, at 10% could get 200. They at 4% they may be able to qualify for 500, right? So, I think it's still personally, I think it's still an excellent time to buy, and we'll go through some of those details. So, what are we doing on the second? Are we? On the second
half, I'm going to talk about the All-Star game. No, I'm kidding.
you're funny. boring. No, I'm just kidding.
Nobody cares.
Guys love
cares.
It out there, so I'm wrong. It's only boring to us women, but maybe not all women, so I better watch what
I
say.
I'm a baseball fan, and it's always boring, but I watch because it's baseball. But, we're gonna talk again to Doug Frazier. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He's the retired U.S. Air Force captain who has done a lot of work with the poor in India. And So, the second half of our show, we kind of promised to get him back. And the second half of our show, we're about giving back and, you know, featuring inspiring people who are doing just that. And he does that, works with the poor in India. So not that we all have to, you know, do that, but as we always
say,
maybe
this one. He's in ministry too, right? He's in ministry.
Yeah, he's a former pastor, and he does missions work and you know, an entrepreneur, kind of doing a little bit of everything like all of us. But, so Doug Frazier will be with us in the second half, and really looking forward to hearing what he's doing over there. I spent about a half hour on the phone with him today as I was booking him, and just a very, very interesting guy, and 67 years old, and I'm just going to say this, he's just really sharp, and I know 70 is the new 60, I guess, for a lot of us. I mean, as I approach 60, I start thinking about how old I used to think 60 was.
Oh, I think 70 is a new 55.
Come on. Yeah, there you go.
50 is the new 35, so no,
there
we go. I know he's really sharp. He's done a lot in his lifetime, too. I'm looking forward to that. Really looking forward to that. That'll be so great. And the time goes by so fast, and really, really fast. And I'm looking forward to some other things we're going to be doing in the radio, huh? And of course, everybody that's gotten to know us out there knows that our first half is about real estate, and our second half is self-help. And everything ties in together. And it's really interesting with the social media and the world right now how the news travels so far, so fast. It also gives us the ability to donate more fast. I mean, even if you can only donate $1, $5, $2, there's legitimate sites out there that you can do that and get involved. But the media, and tying it into what we're talking about on our first half right now, the media, have you noticed how, Randy, it can drive our emotions, and we really have to be careful about, my opinion is what we watch. Like sometimes I turn off the news because the news seems to have such a good hold on slanting it, depending on which news broadcast you watch, whether you're watching Fox or CNN or you know, where the slant goes. And the news media, I guess to me, they seem to sensationalize so many things. I guess they have to get their ratings up, right? Just like radio and TV. And I mean, if the ratings aren't there, then that hurts their profits. Am I right? I mean, you've been in this industry for years. I'm in the real estate side. Because it really, you know, even the stock market, I mean, you hear, you know, something bad happens, all of a sudden the stocks go down. Something good happens, they go way up. It just seems to me that I don't want to allow the media to drive my emotions. I mean, we've had a lot of stuff in the news going on lately, and there's been even rioting and different things. I don't want to go into all of it, but of course, because of our time, and in fairness to our listeners that are listening in about should they buy or not, so I'm not going to sidetrack a whole bunch, but you can see how the media has such a strong hold. Now, coming back to real estate, it's the same thing. You hear them go out, oh, my God, it's a seller's market, it's a seller's market, or now it's a buyer's market. Don't buy. Yes, buy. And if people buy into all of that, their emotions are driven. And what do we do? Our emotions, I think, drive more of everything we do than anything, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I've been watching, you know, obviously with the Zimmerman verdict and,
I've been watching
Fox and CNN and, and I find, like you, just as you said, I find my emotions. I feel my blood pressure going up, you know, as I see, you know, obviously, you know, and I'll just say it. I think like a lot of us. I mean, sadly, or just it's the way it is. But I think the emotions really do kind of fall along racial lines. I mean, you know,
it shouldn't. It really upsets me. Like in his case, God bless her family. I feel my heart goes out to their family. Nothing anyone can do is bringing him home. It's just got to be so horrible. And the other family is going to be going through stuff too because of what they're going through. So my heart goes out to everybody. But I wish there was a way to keep the race out of it, like completely out of it. It shouldn't be the issue. And it's really sad. But. So you see, the media drives our emotions constantly, and that's why I sometimes just want to turn it off. Of course, we need to read and find out what's going on in the world. We want to be abreast of things. But with real estate right now, I want to say to our listeners, don't let the media drive your emotions on whether you should buy or sell your home at all. Don't even let it play into anything. Other than if you're, you know, you're looking at areas you want to learn and, you know, get educations about your education about what area you want to move to. Many people know where they're going. Some people are having job transfers. Of course, you want to get as educated as possible on what you're going to do. You want to learn what your rate is, what you're paying for, what you're not paying for. But don't let it drive your emotions. Don't let it have you fear-based to where you don't buy. Right now, 4.5% interest rate is fantastic. Now, I'll just give you an example. It's easy to even go on the internet and calculate your mortgages now. You don't have to have the books and the tables, and you don't have to know the formulas. You can just find out pretty quickly. But let's just say on a $200,000 30-year mortgage, if the interest rate is 3.5%, that monthly payment is going to be the principal and interest is going to run about $898. Now, you're going to add your taxes and insurance, but I just want to give you an example here. So at $200,000, 3.5%, let's say it's $898, so let's round it to $900 plus taxes and insurance. At a 4.5% interest rate, that payment goes up to $1,013. It's $100, it's a little over $100 more a month. But it's not astronomical in the sense of should you buy or should you not buy. It will change your qualifying ratios a little bit, but it shouldn't get you out of the market. Because remember, you want to get educated on how do I pay this 30-year loan down maybe in 15 years or 10 years. You want to learn to cheat the bank in the sense of, yeah, I want to borrow the money, maybe stretch it out. You could even look at a 40-year mortgage if you really need that payment to get down lower. But I don't suggest going into something and buying it for and taking 40 years to pay your mortgage off. You want to get smart about how you pay it off earlier. But that $100, $110 difference should not stop you from buying a mortgage right now. part of that, because it's going to be interest, is going to be deducted off your taxes, right? So you're going to be able to deduct it, and that's $100 really is maybe going to be like $60. So it's, even though everybody, many people are on tight budgets, I know you can do it. I mean, you know, the coffees a day are a dollar something a day, right? $2, $3. Some people are getting lattes and spending $5 a day. Right there, $5 a day is $150 a month. It's definitely very doable, and I just would not, with these rates being so fantastic, and you're talking to a veteran who's been in for years that I've seen, you know, I'm a veteran in real estate. I've seen these rates are, they're just, to me, it's like almost like free money. So what you want to do is educate yourself on how to get into that house that you want and need. I mean, you don't want to go way above your means, and then figure out how to pay it down and get in. So it's definitely a fantastic time to buy. Now, what was your opinion, Randy, on when you're seeing the news out there and things? Would you, you and Monica are in your house in California, and I know you like to go back and forth to the islands and travel. Did you think, if you were out in the buying market right now, what was your opinion?
Well, I mean, obviously, even in the last couple of years, with it being so low, all the rates, I mean, you know, it's one of those, I wish I had the money to buy some things, because, you know, one of the challenges of a life in radio is not a lot of cash in the bank. So, but yeah, I think, I would love to, you know, buy another residence or two. We have a couple of rental properties in Chico right now, in addition to the home
right.
we own. And yeah, I mean, you know,
that's great.
Obviously, the more the merrier. And and like you, I'm a solid believer in real estate over the long haul being a great investment. And it's kind of being borne out in Chico where we live, because they're literally right now. Homes are selling very fast and for, you know, significantly over the asking prices, because there's just no inventory, very little inventory in this town. So, you know, you kind of get this kind of gold rush fever thing going, you know.
Right, exactly.
Like, wow, maybe we should think about it, you know. We've worked long and hard to keep this house, and you know, we don't, because of the fact that we don't have, you know, and probably won't have a ton of cash assets to pass along. But if we had two or three homes, you know,
right.
to pass
That's
along
nice.
To our kids, then there we go. That's our
no,
our
it's, just, it's just so right now the interest rate wouldn't really have alarmed you, right? The way the rates are changing, you'd say, because
no,
you know,
no.
you'd say, okay, it's not a big deal. Because some people are saying they're waiting. Oh, the rates are going up. I'm not putting it in a holding pattern. And if they, you know, if they qualify and they can do it and they need it, I mean, and want it, it just makes sense to go ahead and do it. I mean, and there's nothing, you know, you can put in a lower offer on a house. You don't have to pay the full asking price on a house. You can make an offer, you know, and
yeah,
see where it goes.
Yeah, depending on where you're at, right, that flies or doesn't. But I, like I said here, man, it's just we heard about a house just down the street from us, and we're like, whoa. But like you said before, okay, so you sell your house, now what? Where do you go? And, you know, we have both of our rentals rented, and, you know, you've got to have a place to live. And our stuff's been in storage for a couple of years while we were, while we were out and about. So it's kind of nice to have it all out and in a home. And we've thought about, again, creatively, you know, creating kind of a lifestyle of, like you said, back and forth to the islands. But now we have our daughter here who would very much like to rent our house, and she doesn't have any furniture, so boom, we just leave
That's
it.
That's great.
She
yeah.
rents it. I get some of her friends to come in live with her, and boom, we're back. We're back to Maui.
Because I just, really, yeah. That's awesome.
We lived
it's
in
lovely. Kids always come back home. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, back
yeah.
and forth. And for her right now, until she figures out the next step, you know, in her life, having just graduated with her degree and because it's in psychology, she really, really has to go get a master's to do anything with that degree, frankly. I mean, you know,
right.
you need a master's to do, you know, teach or to,
right.
you know, begin to do the family marriage and family therapist track and all that. So anyway,
that'd be fun for her to be home. Must be a blast for her to be home. So yeah, so any for you know people listening, you know the rates are still good. And I mean, I came from a background of we thought for many years when the rates were 9.5%, it was just phenomenal. They were great rates. You know, people. No, we did. It was just you know because you get used to certain things, and I think that's part of what's happening right now. People got a little bit spoiled with the rates being so low. Because it does look like, you know, on the, that they're going to have to raise them at some point. Right now, things are moving pretty fast. And you're seeing a lot of people getting taking multiple offers in different areas. But just because of that, it only takes one, right? So even if people are doing multiple
mm-hmm.
offers, you can still make the what you feel comfortable, you know, making on a property and going from there, what
mm-hmm.
offer you feel like making. So mm-hmm. it's definitely a good way to go. I guess we'll take a quick break and come right back and see if there's any questions.
Okay, let's do it. We'll take a break and be right back.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com. What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about...
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win. We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, buddy. Realty Universal Radio, we are back. We are on the air everywhere, of course, worldwide, and in your hometown. So we're glad to hear if you've joined us. By the way, you can always check in live at 347-945-5428. Our show is live noon Pacific time. On this very day, on Wednesdays, Monday through, or I should say every Wednesday. I almost said we're daily, but not quite yet.
So, yeah, I know.
Weekdays, awesome. Wednesday, noon Pacific, we're live. And then, of course, archived. Our archive listens continue to grow. I saw one recent show where we had like 5,000 listens. So awesome. That's pretty cool for Blog Talk Radio. And we thank you for listening. And I know you always get value with Natalie Mullenix, president and founder of Realty Universal. And again, the website, realtyuniversal.com, for, you know, all of the stuff that you've heard heretofore. Ooh, there's a big word, heretofore. I'm breaking out the big words today. So just to recap, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the rates inching up, but that it's, I think the, you know, what we've come to is it's still a good time to buy, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And even from 3.5% to 4.5% is such a, I mean, the difference is a little over $100 a month, which is still such a good deal. I mean, they're low rates. Like I was saying before, historically we had many years that 9.5% was great. And there's people out there that have seen 18% interest rates. So these are phenomenal rates. I would definitely do it. And then educate yourself on how to pay off that mortgage early. That's the key. So we're just getting about ready to start our second half. Time flies.
Yes, we are,
Randy.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely flies. Again, Realty Universal Radio, realtyuniversal.com is the website. And again, for all of the information, whether you're again a broker interested in you know, in the membership programs, an agent, or if you're just somebody like me wanting more information, tons of information there. And Douglas Allen Frazier is with us. He's on the line from Weatherford, Texas.
Hi,
how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Can you hear me well? I'm actually calling from Skype because my other phone needs a little recharging, so I hope this is coming through for you guys.
Oh,
it's
coming through loud and clear. Perfect, perfect.
Great. Loving the Skype.
Technology is a wonderful thing.
I love it.
I've been waiting to ask this question. How's the weather in Weatherford?
You know, we have been blessed with about 3 days of a very nice rain. I mean, just this time of year, we get a lot of thunderstorms, and, you know, it just kind of comes, and there's a heavy downpour. But we've had 3 days of just a nice type of soaking rain, which we really need. The temperatures have been well below 100. In fact, one day we had it about 68. So
That's great.
This is some nice weather.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that rain. Love it when it comes and you're not expecting it. Because it's typically pretty hot and muggy in the summertime, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, if we don't get really our good rains by June, we're not going to get much more than just thunderstorms. And by the time we hit, you know, the 1st of July, particularly mid-July, we can expect almost every day at about 100 degrees. I think it was about two or 3 years ago now, we had 45 straight days of 100-degree-plus weather.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a record. That was a record.
Wow. Hey, man, so we got you on back just, I think it was the day before the 4th of July, talking, of course, about military and patriotism and, you know, retired U.S. Air Force officer and all of that. And then we found out you're kind of a treasure trove in terms of being a radio guest, because former pastor, missionary, a lot of work in India, and the second half of this show, Natalie, really the goal and the desire here is to not only inspire and motivate and mobilize people to be the change in the world that they, you know, they seek, so to speak, but to feature people who are really doing that. And you were talking a little bit about India and your work with the poor in India and mission trips, and we would love for you to kind of share with our audience what you've been doing and what the need might be there and all of that. So can you kind of just, we're going to kind of give you the mic and let you share your heart about what's going on in India.
Well, absolutely chime in if I hit a point that you want more expansion or you've got a comment, please come in. But I just have to tell you, in the beginning, that's where you always start, right? In the beginning.
Yeah.
My wife and I were asked to come to India by two missionaries that we met at a conference hosted by John Paul Jackson. We really fell in love with these people, and we had a great time. And they knew that we were planning to do some mission work. We had come back from a mission training center. And we knew, because of our experience in the military, that we had worked with a lot of different groups of people, you know, which gave us kind of a feeling that said we don't really see ourselves plugged into one specific place other than perhaps Japan, where we had spent so many years. But these couples asked us if we would come and do ministry with them in India. And
wow.
My wife and I, we just kind of looked at each other and were going, this is not where we feel a calling. And how do we tell these wonderful people that this isn't what we want to do? So I simply said, and I really feel that this was God speaking to me because it's turned out so well. He simply said this, tell them maybe someday. Three words. Actually, you could make it two words. Maybe someday. Well, that someday turned out to be 6 months later.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is I did not work with any of these people in the 9 years that I've been, almost 10 years now that I've been going to India. Last September was the first time I had physically seen or worked with one of the couples that invited us to come to India in the beginning. And what it was just a great reunion, just tremendous reunion.
How often do you go out there?
What was that?
How often do you go out there?
In the beginning, I was going about twice a year. I would still like to be going twice a year, but it's a funding issue, as it always is. If, you know, it's an expensive trip to go. By the time I go and come back with airline tickets, places to stay,
yeah,
and then travel inside the country, you're looking at an expense of anywhere between $3,000 and $4,000 per trip.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's, you know, and a lot of that money that is expended, I'll just say, is actually money that I give into various works. So it just doesn't go to fund me per se, but it goes into working with the people there. Because our ministry is called Bridge Builders Ministry International, and we chose the word bridge builder because we felt that's what we were called to do. We were not called to go and maintain a constant presence. We were called to build a bridge. And so our ministry is a little bit different because it's designed to go, uplift, encourage, work with. And people say, well, what do you do? And I say, simply whatever God asks me to do, however the Holy Spirit works and demonstrates through my life. So if you look at some of the things I've done, I've preached sermons in just a regular church setting, evangelistic setting out in the open air. I've cast out demons out of people. I've prayed over people and seen them healed. I've gone into homes, into hospitals, into orphanages. And all of these are not something I've done. They're all connected with the people that God has put in his place and his timing, where he's aligned me to be with certain people.
That India, though, like I know, so when you go in, it's basically what you know, whatever God's calling you to do, because India is such a large country. I mean, you know, it's wonderful. I've just heard so many different stories about some missionary groups going in and teaching people how to in different areas, you know, of the world, farm on the land and how to then protect their crops. And I mean, so when you're going in and doing ministry, it's more a spiritual ministry, I would think, right?
Well, and it's also an alignment ministry, because many of the ministries that I'm aligned with in India, they do some of those things. And we have done that. I've gone out where we have given out things to local communities. In fact, one of the ministries that I'm aligned with now is in northern India. And if you want to take this down, this is a tremendous group. It's called TellAsia.org. That's their website, TellAsia.org. And this was started about 12 years ago by a young woman who had spent some time up in the northern areas of India, which is some of the most difficult areas to work in. In fact, the area where she started was called the Graveyard of Missionaries.
Wow.
Not only Americans or foreigners, but Indian, because a lot of, they call it Indian missionary as somebody that's been called, and they're really a homeland mission, and they go out and reach the people. If you can imagine a country with 1.3 billion people, and there's still a need of about 687,000 different villages that have never been touched by the word of God. But Liana put together, I think, the most incredible organization, where they're up in the northern part of India, which, put it this way, the one state that they're in and the vision that they have is more than half the size of the United States in terms of population.
Whoa.
Wow.
So if it were to separate itself out from India, it would be one of the largest nations in the world by itself.
Wow.
But this is what she's done. She gathered together the groupings of different churches. It didn't matter what the denomination was. They came together with a common vision. We're going to see this state reached for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That was their common goal. Out of that work, when they got it started and really started clicking, they gathered together people. They have now planted churches and home churches in the last 4 years. I'm talking 4 years' time, that totals over 13,000 churches and home churches in the last 4 years.
That's fantastic.
And from that, they have seen almost 400,000 people come and make proclamations that Jesus Christ is their Savior.
Wow.
That is an absolute phenomenal number. I don't know if you're familiar with a very well-known Christian teacher and missionary name of C. Peter Wagner.
Yeah.
Okay. Peter was a longtime mission teacher at Foley Seminary, and I've known Peter for a number of years. Mm. And he was out in California at a church, and he met Liana there, and he heard about the work and all of the amount of effort and documentation that they have gone through in this effort. And he simply said, she is the most incredible mission person he has ever seen in his life.
That's some high praise.
God's definitely working through her. I mean, you can say the numbers say it. Speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speak
but
a
it's
lot.
It's an incredible thing, and I had the opportunity to go up. Liana and I met because we're kind of connected through Peter Wagner, and I had an opportunity to meet with her. It's been about a year and a half ago, and we met for about 4 hours here in the Dallas area, and I was just blown away by what she had done, you know, the group of people. And she said, well, Doug, why don't you come up and spend some time with us? So last year I went up and spent about 2 weeks visiting with their work, and it was just incredible. And one of the things that you were talking about of how do they reach the people? Well, you've got to recognize that when I say 1.3 billion people in India, we always hear about the big cities like Mumbai, Delhi, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai. You know, those are names that come up in the news quite often.
Wow.
But 75% of the Indian population lives in villages.
Really? 75%?
75% lives in the villages.
Wow.
So the greatest outreach is really going into the villages and starting works there. And sometimes that might be an orphanage. Sometimes it might be an outreach program of all sorts, because I know different groups will go in, medical groups, et cetera. But what one of the things they have done, and I think it's the most incredible thing, you talk about vision for the next generation, is they have gone into the villages and have aligned themselves with the village schools.
Wow.
And they have set up programs that are an after-school program that will bring the children in, and because they're aligned with the school, they have brought in teaching people, teaching missionaries, if you will, that will take those individual children and help them with their deficiencies so their grades, et cetera, can be raised up to a higher level.
That's fantastic.
They also feed them and monitor their health. And then, of course, they teach them things about Jesus and Christianity and respect for their parents and elders.
So if somebody wants to get involved, would you say go to tellasia.org, or would you say Google the Peter Wagner, the ministry?
No,
or?
Go directly to tellasia.org.
.org, okay.
Yeah, they have all of the information on their website, and
okay.
I can tell you from 10 years, almost 10 years of being in India, they are one of the best programs going, because it's all done by local Indian people who have just a tremendous heartbeat for their area and for the nation. They also do things in human trafficking.
That's wonderful. You always hear those stories of 11, 12-year-olds being sold into prostitution. It's so sad.
Because where they live, not only there from northern India, but there is trafficking from Nepal, which they're up on that border area.
So
a lot of young Nepali girls are trafficked into India where they can be, you know, sent out. And there was one night, and this was amazing to me, and this really, I just have to say, it has to be their, their reputation with the local police and the impact they're making in the area. Because
really?
the local police has joined up with Tel Asia and some of their people for going in and rescuing these young girls, which is basically in a lot of areas you don't hear about that.
No.
You don't hear about that at all.
So horrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have different clients and people I've known over the years that are from India, and some people are extremely well off, you know. And many, I think, that have come to the U.S., you find, are pretty well off, and they have very large families. And I think it's interesting to me how many have arranged marriages, and which seem to, interestingly enough, work very well. I wouldn't have thought so before, but after knowing people and understanding why they do it, And it seems like it does work, actually. But then you get the stories of the people that are extremely poor, you know, and I've heard stories of people traveling there and having somebody, this is so horrible that if anyone could do this, somebody's arms and legs were cut off, you know, and they have them in the street begging. So they put them with a bowl next to them to get money. And I'm just like, are you serious? And I've, you know, heard firsthand stories. And then, I'm going to go to the tellasia.org, too, because do they have everything, maybe if people want to donate to put water wells or just anything and everything, huh?
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, even the thing that you brought up, Natalie, about the begging situation.
Oh, it's so hard to believe.
Unfortunately, it's become a racket.
Yeah, because, I mean, I heard that people... Well, them cut off their arms and legs, though, that's so sickening. And just,
Well, it's a racket, you know, and my heart goes out, you know, just like anybody's would, particularly when you have the means to help somebody. I'll just tell you this. There was one day I was in Chennai, and I needed to go to a hotel. And actually, I knew what the hotel was, but I'd got confused. So I'm walking down the street, and this lady came up to me, and she spoke a little bit of English. And I asked her if she knew where this hotel was. She said yes. So she took my suitcase, walked me to the hotel, and I didn't have very much small change. But I had about the equivalent today of about $4.50, so almost $5. I gave that to her, and this is the truth. She absolutely got down on the ground and kissed my feet.
Aww.
You know, it was absolutely overwhelming. But you see, the other side of that, she was very genuine. But the other side of that, there's a lot of people that it's a trafficking situation.
It's a scam, like
where
a scam.
They will
sure.
Take groups, send them out.
Right.
And it's very difficult. I had one day while I was in the same city, this lady came up to me, a young woman, had a baby on her hip. She literally grabbed my arm, gave me the international signal of raising one of her hands to her mouth, saying, "I'm hungry." And I was with another Indian guy, and he said, "Don't give her any money."
Right.
And she's and I'm going, "Oh my Lord!" And she's just hanging on my arm. She's walking down the street with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it because I knew what he was saying. As soon as I gave her any money, it was like every person on the street would be right around us.
Yeah.
And the result would be this. I could give them every cent I had, and they'd be right back at it again tomorrow.
Right.
And so, you know, it's groups like Tell Asia and the other groups that I work with there. They're going with the full motivation of saying, we're going to help you to move forward in your lifestyle so you don't have to be doing this. So education is a big key, and it's a difficult situation because it's not a free public education like we have here. So it costs money for them to go, even if it's not that much, you know, as we would look at it.
Oh, I didn't know that they didn't have any type of such system set up.
Yeah, if their monies are cut off, it's very difficult. In fact, some parents, because they recognize that, will take their children to an orphanage just so they know that orphanage
Isn't
education.
That sad? Oh,
yeah.
It's so sad. It's so sad where people kind of give away their children because they know it's better for them. And so the tellasia.org, I would imagine that's more, it's funded with donations, and I would think that they're into working with people locally right in the projects. It's not like, you know how we have the Red Cross, which is wonderful, and you have many different organizations, but then you hear about the large organizations where 80% of the money is going to the corporation and paying all these salaries and not going to the donations. You know, you just hear stories about that, and I'm always leery about that. I always want to know that the money's really being spent,
The money really goes to the people who need it. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because the other thing is there's people that we know that I met while we were there. Actually, there are other ministries. One guy, Yeah, he and his family actually were from Holland, and they had a ministry of their own, but they connected with the Talasia people because it was, you know, kind of a synergistic effect.
Right.
And so they were blessing each other of going forth. One of the days while we were there, we actually went and dedicated a brand new church out in the country. And actually, the church was started under the leadership of the family from Holland. But Talasia and a number of other people went out together, and we had a great time of just dedicating this church and just to join with theirs. So there is this synergistic effect that takes place, and that's what you really need. I mean, that's what's upon my heart of what I see taking place really in the church today is we need a synergistic effect that it's not my church, it's not your church, it's really God's church, and we're building his church. And that might sound like a big sermon or, you know, just a piece.
Well, you know, no, I mean, I think it's really huge to see that there's so many people, you know, we get blessed by, you know, having plenty of food and having plenty of, shelter. And not everybody in the U.S. has it, but I'm just saying we kind of take it for granted that our electric's going to go on, you know, that the things are going to work. And it's really, I mean, it's interesting to see in countries where, like this, it doesn't take a lot of money to do a lot of good. You know,
somebody has
$10 or $50 a month to donate, that can help. You know, where some people may think, "Oh, it's not enough money." I was talking to somebody who works with us in the Philippines yesterday, and she said that the season's really rainy right now, and every day in the news they're hearing of people dying of dengue fever. And you know, and it's just like, to me, it seems like, wow, that shouldn't be happening, especially with the knowledge they have over there right now. But it is happening, and I think, you know, in India we hear, you know, those the stories where you hear the kids being sold into slavery and prostitution, and it's just really, really sad. And I think what you're talking about is just wonderful, because God can move mountains. I mean, we know that, and the knowledge is getting it out there and then spreading it amongst the local people, so local people start to build and take care of themselves too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things, you look at the village program particularly, it's to give them a vision that they can move out of this village life, because the typical village life, particularly for a young girl, is pretty difficult. A lot of them will be married by the time they're 14 years old. And start having children at 14, 15, 16 years old.
Wow.
And they never break out of that poverty cycle. So a portion of this village program is to give them a vision that there's life outside the village. You can go out, you can accomplish some great things in the Indian society that education will provide for you, and then also learn how to come back to your own village and give back into where you came from.
Wow, that's wonderful. Do you? I don't know what the percentages are of the people that are Christians versus
In India today, it just depends, I guess, a lot of who you talk to, but I do know this from the sources that I work with. It runs in India anywhere from between 10 and 15% of the nation.
Wow.
Now, I was talking earlier with Randy that I had to go out, and I have an adopted Naga son. Naga is a tribal group up in the northeast part of India.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Naga.
And I met him on my first trip to India. He was a seminary student, and we sat down and were having a conversation at lunch, and he asked me, he said, "Would you become my father?" And my first inclination, "You mean like spiritual father?" He said, "No, like my physical father, because my father was killed during some problems that we were having up where I live." And I said,
no.
"Okay. Let me pray about it." And really, it didn't take very long. And really, God says, "Yes, you should do this." And
wow.
So there's no formal adoption paperwork, but he is my son, and he calls me dad. He calls my wife mom. He calls my daughters his sisters. He's married to a wonderful woman. They have now three young sons. My wife Diane and I were really blessed when they called us to name the third son.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's, so, you know, it's yeah. a total blessing. But he is in an area historically in the history of missions of India is where William Carey went, who really became one of the first Western missionaries to go to India.
Yeah.
So if you look on the demographics as far as Christian, they say that area represents about 70% to 80% are considered to be Christian.
Wow. Douglas Allen Fraser with us talking about tellasia.org, which is an organization in India that he's involved with. We've got about 3 minutes here, Doug. And while you guys have been talking, I've been perusing the tellasia.org website.
Oh, good,
and there's
good,
so
good.
Much material here. Information. One thing that's heartbreaking, they talk about the vision trips where you can go and, you know, experience this and be a part of it. And it talks about all the things that you might get to do. And one of them, about the fourth one down, bullet point that's heartbreaking would be, it says, visit a slum where you will meet the children we can't yet help.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just think to myself, like Natalie's point, what do you mean we can't help, right? You know, it's like Bono talks about Africa. What do you mean? What do you mean this country with all of our riches can't help, you know?
Right.
And
exactly.
That's heartbreaking. That's got to be heartbreaking to go to a village and go, yeah, there's some starving children right there who are sick and we can't help them.
Oh,
well, Natalie, you brought up one of the most critical points that people don't recognize. Let's put it this way. If you drink a Coke or you have a Starbucks, whatever drink it is, if you just put one of those out, just pulled one of them out and just began to collect that for 1 month, how much money would you have?
Exactly, and I agree. Exactly.
Now if you've got let's say you've got 10 friends and you collectively did that, how much money would you have? It's mind-boggling when you look at what you can do with a small amount and you add it up and it becomes a huge amount and it doesn't cost you anything.
We're so used to what it costs in the U.S., and we don't realize. I mean, in India, someone may be able to live well on $500 a month. I mean, I'm throwing a number out there, you know. I'm not saying very well, but
way.
I know many places in the world, and I think that, I think it really does. It's we're getting ready to – it's almost over. We're almost ready to come off of the air.
Yeah.
It goes by so fast. Well, I'm definitely going to look at tellasia.org. Yeah, it almost makes you feel like, wow, you know, I went out last night and had a dinner and, you know, at a restaurant, and, you know, that costs a lot by the time you eat. I eat out a lot, but, you know, a good restaurant and a dinner and tips, and by the time you're finished, it's easy even for one person to spend $40 or $50. I mean, it depends on where you're going. You know, if it's a few of you, you could spend a couple hundred and think about it, and I go, wow, that's just... It's we really need to help, and it's such a pleasure having you on again. This was really great focusing on India because there's so many areas. You know, nowadays I think a lot of people think, well, India, and they're getting into the tech industry, and you have wonderful doctors and scientists coming from India, and I think a lot of people may not realize that there's still that poverty side too, right, where people are not able to get the luxury.
Absolutely. And you see all of that economic impact that's been going on in India has caused the nation of India a lot of problems from the standpoint of people wanting to come out of the villages to some of the richer cities. And so where do they go? There's no place to go. So they live on the side of the street, and you have the slum categories just increasing and increasing. So it's a challenge that, you know, we can help. bit by bit. If you just help one person, I look at it this way. If you have one child that's in an orphanage, you should make a commitment to see that kid go all the way through school, even to the point of graduating from an Indian college.
Wow.
And when
that's
you
great.
Make that sort of a commitment, you have literally changed that person's life, but how many other lives will be changed just because they have moved, you know, into a greater level and taking more people to that level
of awareness, and then how they're going to be with their children and their families, and it's just starting it, and it's that's, I love it. I just love it. Well,
I'll make a
commitment. I'll get on there for sure. And I think any of our listeners, we had a lot of archive listeners, please look up tellasia.org. Make a commitment, even if it's in your own community. You know, you can help too, right in your own community with volunteer or making
absolutely.
A donation. And, it's we really need to do.
Thanks, Doug.
Hey, we're getting ready to go off the air, so I just want to thank you again. And to everyone out there, I wish you peace.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.